This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Jumped the gun a little bit there. Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live. Usually joining me is my co-host, Naz Marchese. Naz is a little bit under the weather this morning and won't be able to join us. Get better, Naz. But joining us this morning, a little bit of a round table, former Raptors coach Butch Carter, the ultimate Leafs fan Mike Wilson, and former Washington Capital Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, gentlemen. I'll start with you, Butch. Obviously, the big topic of conversation in the Toronto area this morning is a monumental collapse by the monumental and historic collapse by the Toronto Blue Jays in Game 2 yesterday. Not sure I even know where to start with this one. I'm still suffering from the Buffalo Bills collapse from last year and the Toronto Maple Leafs from 2013. But yesterday was one for the history books, Butch. Biggest collapse, seven runs. The Jays had a seven-run lead in the sixth inning. Last time a away team has come back, I believe, as 1929 World Series Philadelphia Athletics and Chicago Cubs. I don't think any of us remember that one, but yesterday, Butch, I don't even know where I want to start with this. There's criticism all around. I guess some of it justified, some of it unjustified, but the focus right after the game was some of the managerial decisions made by the manager, Mr. Schneider. Butch, where do you want to start with this one?
Well, I mean, it's easy to put the finger on Schneider, but, you know, the reality is that the Blue Jays did not play great baseball the last month of the season, and they struggled all year beating good teams except for the Yankees. So, you know, I measure it on, you know, the broadcast. The problem for Canadian fans is that the broadcasters work for the company that owns the team. So you don't ever get the real picture of what's going on as far as competitiveness. Because they're always selling, because they're selling for the mothership. They talked about, you know, the pitching staff, you know, did a really good job. But, you know, our closer was not good the last 2 weeks of the season. And you combine that with, you know, it looks like the pitching staff is ready to go. But in these short series, anything can happen. And, you know, your best player does not play his best baseball at a crucial time. And, you know, I don't know what we'd have done if we didn't have Springer. So, I mean, that's how I look at it. I mean, I think as an interim manager, he did a great job. But, you know, at the end of the day, Vlade's got to perform at the highest level in the most crucial time. And that's what you saw. You saw a collapse of individual athletes combined together in a crucial moment. And I was telling a friend of mine, I watched Seattle play the last week of the season, and they had to win the game, and they put in a pinch hitter. It gets to 3-2, and the guy golfs a homer, walk-off homer. They just played with so much more genuine excitement. And there is a certain mark of immaturity that the Blue Jays have in their dugout, in my opinion. The home run jacket, why is it necessary? You know, the Blue Jays, and my perception from other baseball teams, which we've seen when the blow-up with Baltimore, aren't deemed to be professional all the time. And again, I go to, yes, they made strides. This was very painful. And hopefully they'll come out and be a better baseball team, a more complete baseball team. But I did think they had a heck of a year. But
Butch, I'm gonna turn it over to Lou. Mike, I know you're itching to get into the conversation. Lou, I know you're itching to get into the conversation. Mike, be patient. We'll get to you right after Lou. Lou, you know, the focus this morning, a couple of managerial decisions. Obviously, the big one, taking out your starter Kevin Gausman in the fifth or sixth inning. I can't even remember at this point. I think it was he had the bases loaded. He had two outs. He had struggled to get two outs, but he got the two outs, and then you know we ended up with a change in pitching, and everything went south from there. I'm sure the manager was looking at his computer algorithms. I'm sure all the analytics suggested that was the right move at the time. There's a concept of the batter, you know, being better against left-handers and all that kind of stuff. But the gut was sort of telling you maybe you let Gausman pitch one more batter. I made me nervous when he made that move, but he's the manager. He reads all the computer printouts. I'm sure from a computer printout point of view, he's perfectly justifiable. Where did this game go wrong, Lou? Lou, we lose you? Mike, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I think we've lost Lou. Anyways, yeah. Mike, I'll pick up that conversation. Yeah. You watch the game. Oh, I'm sure you've got some pretty strong opinions this morning. I'll let you run with your opinions.
Well, I'm like Butch. I think that there was the team. During critical moments, the team has to perform. And yesterday, during those key moments, Springer was 0-for-4 yesterday. Vladdy, you know, for all intents and purposes, you know, he tries to hit it, you know, 300 feet out of the park every time. And, you know, they just didn't get the big hits when they needed it. However, having said that, they were getting a lot of production from the bottom lineup, and Tosco Hernandez came through as well yesterday. But I think two critical things that turned the game. Number one, when they had that big inning and had the bases still loaded, less than two outs at that point. And then when they did get two outs, they didn't get any. But that was the backbreaker that real big teams, like, they would have blown them out, and they didn't get that big hit. And I think when Whitfield got hit with that gutless move throwing at him at his head, and he wasn't ejected, I mean, that's a play they've been calling all year to eject guys for throwing that. It was a deliberate throw at his head. He comes out of the game, and Tapia goes into left field. And my only criticism of it from that standpoint is, why wouldn't you put Jackie Bradley Jr. in that position? Jackie Bradley Jr. is a former playoff MVP a couple of years ago. He's a defensive specialist. And two critical balls dropped in front of Tapia that basically turned the whole game. So I think the whole turning point of the game was that moment there when Whitfield came out, Tapia went in. And I think you reflect back, and one of those two catches is made. We're not having this conversation this morning.
No question about that. I mean, it was a perfect storm in a lot of ways, of a lot of different factors. Lou, do we have you back on the line?
I'm here.
Okay, Lou, your team's still in it, the Yankees. You get your shot at what transpired yesterday. That's managerial. I mean, it's perfect storm. I mean, managerial decisions.
You know what?
I would guess at the time, you know, there are justifications for them, and it's always easy to be a Monday morning quarterback. And, you know, a lot of them, Gausman, you know, not bringing in Jack. I mean, you've got an 8-1 lead. Why don't you bring in your best defensive outfielder? You know, I didn't think about that one at the time, but read about it this morning. And, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. You know, why not get a little bit more of your best defensive players out there when you've got an 8-1 lead? Ultimately, at the end of the day, this game was lost in the reliever core, which we always were nervous about. And one really bad play between Bichette and Springer, that's the outfielder's ball, and they got their wires crossed, and that cost them three runs. Perfect storm of events that went sideways. Lou?
Yeah, you know what? It was a perfect storm, but Mike and Butch said it, couldn't have said it any better. This is a very, very immature ball club. I was looking at, I was watching the game, and I swear I thought I saw Kevin Nash coming out there, Kevin Cash coming out there and pulling Snell in Game 6 of the World Series when it was way too early after about 70 or 80 pitches. And then at the end of the day, Romano coming in on the eighth inning. This team has always had problems with their middle relief, and it showed. It showed in that game. It showed the resilience of the Mariners, who haven't made the playoffs since 2001. And it, you know what? What can you say? If more or less you look towards tomorrow and start building towards the future. They have a great core of young players. Unfortunately, they're going to have to pay them pretty soon, and the payroll is going to get a little higher, so we don't know whether we can keep them all. But you can't lose an 8-1 lead. It's almost like losing a 4-0 lead going into the third period.
You can't lose an 8-1 lead.
You can't do that against any club.
Yeah, it's never happened in almost 100 years. When you think about it, you can't lose it. But they lost it. And there's some other incredible stats from yesterday's arising from yesterday's historic collapse. At that point in the fifth, sixth inning, they do the probability of winning. And the Jays at that point in time had a 99% probability of winning. There was no – the last 58 games the Jays have played in where they had scored 9 runs, they won them all. This year, they scored 9 runs in 18 games. They won them all. Wow. I mean, the mathematics just, you know, Vegas, betting, anybody who's betting any of this stuff, they would have made a fortune. Butch, managerial, you know, we've sort of talked around it in circles here. We were all looking at some of the managerial decisions that were made. Should Schneider come under? Should he come under heavy criticism? Fair criticism? How much should his actions be questioned?
Well, I mean, his actions could be questioned privately amongst him and his bosses. But at the end of the day, you know, you're playing to go to the World Series, and players need to make plays. You know, and you know, it's like they were talking. You know, Bo Bichette's hitting series. But Bo didn't hit the baseball against any really good team. You know, and so is it a coincidence? If you go back to the home Yankee series, Bo Bichette had the same problem on a fly ball between him and the center fielder, all right, in that series. And the Yankees scored 2 runs because the ball dropped in. It mirrors. It had happened before. And so now you put a bunch of fans in. It's louder. And, you know, you don't have the discipline on what has to be done. And, you know, it costs you. And once Mo gets in the building for the other team, it's hard to get Mo stopped. And, you know, whatever he did on whoever he put in to pitch, you know, he couldn't get, you know, you gave him chunks of 3 at a time. And all of a sudden, Mo's in the building with the other team. And if you would have watched Seattle play in their last 30 games, Seattle probably had more momentum from their fan base. Seattle hired a woman from an MLS team in Atlanta to come in and redo their fan experience. And, you know, she did a great job, and they had a great home field advantage. But, you know, history is easy to repeat itself, not just from year to year, but if you watch prior games and say, okay, who's really playing well against good teams? And Romero, you know, when he lost his streak on saves, he was not the same pitcher. And I know they're trying to keep Romero, but at the end of the day, you're watching him, you know, do commercials and things change. And unfortunately, indirectly, guys change, professional players change because there's more activity in their life when they become a star or headed to be for stardom than there was when they were just trying to get there. So I think it was a great year to watch. I'm a Blue Jays fan. I watch a lot of the games. It's one of the things I guaranteed if I got a Blue Jays game on, the wife's in the other room watching her own TV. But you know, grew up watching the Cincinnati Reds, you know, and for the fan base saying, well, what does Butch know about? I grew up watching the great Cincinnati Reds play. Bench, Rose, Concepcion, Perez, Foster, Geronimo, and Sparky Anderson. And there are certain things that have to be done by the manager, but at the end of the day, the players have to perform, especially when you give them such a lead.
Mike, you know, my concern with this Blue Jays team has always been the relievers. Jordan Romano seemed to have, filled the closers and did, a bang-up job most of the season. Yesterday he was, unfortunately, I agree with Butch in this sense, he was put into a situation where he was expected to do something that, you know, he's really not, you know, he's really supposed to be a closer. He's not supposed to be fulfilling Dwayne Ward's and Tom Hinkie's function. He was asked to get six outs, and that's not really his job, although they made it his job yesterday. You know, the Seattle pitchers, you know, the guys coming off the bench, Castillo on Friday, you know, these guys are throwing 100, 103 miles an hour. And then the Blue Jays guys, the coming off the bench, are, you know, throwing 89, 91. How much of a difference does that make, Mike?
Well, it makes all the difference, but I think you have to remember also that Jordan Romano did a, you know, without Jordan Romano, yep, the Blue Jays wouldn't have been in the playoffs. So let's start right there. And secondly, he had three strikeouts in the eighth inning, and he actually did his job. He got a fly ball, unfortunately for him, and went into it was a fluke hit. It dropped in a spot that was uncatchable, and you have a mix-up between a shortstop and a center fielder. And going back to Schneider, yeah, he's going to come into question for some of his decisions, but you know, I'm sure he'll come in with a briefcase full of analytics to back up what he was doing, you know, and taking Guzman out when Santana, the previous at-bat, had taken him off the top of the wall and almost was a three-run home run. So, you know, the analytics tell him to take him out, you know, because he didn't want to hit him hard again. So, you know, the human element, I think, gets taken away from the game sometimes. And as Lou pointed out with last year with Tampa in the World Series a couple years ago, all these type of things, you know, come into play. But at the end of the day, as Butch has pointed out, you have to allow the players to be accountable. And I think there was some question about, you know, Bo chasing that ball down, but he's a ball player and he's aggressive and he went after it and it didn't work out. They make that catch. And again, as I said, the last time I was speaking here is a couple of minutes ago, we're not having this conversation this morning. He got a high fly ball, but unfortunately it dropped in La La Land.
Yeah, certainly, as I said, there's almost a perfect storm of things that went bad for the Jays yesterday. And historic. Hasn't happened one or two times in Major League Baseball history. It just had to happen to the Toronto Blue Jays. Oh, wow. Anyways, they've got a good young team. Hope springs eternal. We'll come back at them again next year, and hopefully we can determine a few holes where they may need a couple of more arms in certain places, and we'll go back at it again next year. We're going to go to break. Interesting story in the basketball world this week, happening out with the Warriors, Golden State Warriors. Butch, I want to take an opportunity to speak to you, and Lou and Mike as well. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when we received several angry letters from the general public. Pizzaville's central phone number is 736-3636. But it seems that some listeners thought I was saying 7-free-sex-free-sex-free-sex. Pizzaville does not condone free sex, except among consenting adults. But to make amends to those listeners who thought they heard 7-free-sex-free-sex-free-sex, Pizzaville recommends that you try our hot Italian sausage on your next Pizzaville pizza, because maybe you need a little more spice in your life. So, whether it's a sunny day or a rainy day, call Pizzaville at 736-3636, not 7-free-sex-free-sex-free-sex. Pizzaville, authentic Italian-style stone-baked pizza.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity in Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com or better yet, drop by the number 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery, now open at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
To become a champion in business, it takes coaching, training, and bench strength. And every team needs a skilled player like KPMG Enterprise for private companies. KPMG Enterprise helps entrepreneurs and family businesses grow, strengthen, and transition by offering a full suite of services, including audit, accounting, tax, and advisory. Your business doesn't stand still. It evolves. Team up with a winner. Visit kpmg.ca/enterprise. Let's do this.
You name it, they'll argue about it. No sport left unturned. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740, downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM, live video and audio streaming, www.zoomerradio.ca. Joining us this morning, Butch Carter, Mike Wilson, and Lou Franceschetti. Butch, there was an incident out in out west, Golden State Warriors. There were rumors out about it in the middle of the week, an incident between Draymond Green and Jordan Poole, and then a video surfaced later on in the week, which was kind of striking. I think the only fortunate part about this whole incident is Jordan Poole appears not to have gotten injured or seriously injured. It could have ended up a lot worse. You know, as soon as I saw it on video, it, you know, Rudy Teak was the first thing that came into my mind. But fortunately, it appears, you know, Draymond Green's a big, big, big athletic man and took a haymaker at his teammate. He's apologized, and good for him. They're trying to handle it internally. They would have liked to have handled it internally until that video surfaced. I'll just plainly ask you, Butch, from the perspective of a coach, from the perspective of a former player, what was your reaction to that?
Well, I mean, as a former coach, I had an incident like that on the bus in Sacramento, and we had played a great road trip. I think we'd won 4 out of 5, and Sacramento caught us on the third game in 4 days, and we were just bad. We were tired, and then an incident broke out on the bus, and the problem you have is that kind of incident, everyone with an opinion is running to you on what you should do, and the reality is you just want it to get it settled and go away, because you, like, the Golden State's a defending champion. They gotta go win games. But the striking part to me that no one said is that the core of this problem was not the two guys. It was also the fact that one's a Michigan guy and the other one's a Michigan State guy.
I haven't heard that, but
I mean, we know how loyal that Draymond is to Michigan State. You know, and during the finals last year, they showed Izzo and some of the former players, you know, at the championship series, but no one has said, like, you know, what was the core of it? Okay, guys wolfing each other. But the real problem is, I believe, that the core of it is one's a Michigan State guy and one's a Michigan guy.
But, Butch, that can't excuse what happened. I mean,
I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm saying that the root cause, the red X of the issue, is that those guys felt a loyalty to go back and forth to each other. And Poole basically thought that he could run his mouth without, and Draymond took it to the playground. You know, so you run your mouth too much and you're performing in a scrimmage. You know, I'm just going to pop you to shut you up. And it's wrong. And, you know, whoever, look, I don't know why they're surprised someone leaked the video.
Right?
There are no, for whatever reason, there is no sacred cows. There is no confidentiality. People can sign them. You know, they're still leaking stuff now on the Boston coach. Like, it's just the modern way that no one feels any absolute loyalty to an organization when they feel there's, you know, there's something very small to be gained out of leaking it.
Lou, I'm going to go to you now, and then hold on, Mike. I'll get to you shortly. Lou, you know, you played in the National Hockey League for a long period of time. I'm sure in your day there were probably lots of scuffles between teammates. I guess the code in those days, and I think Steve Kerr, the coach of the Warriors, sort of reflected it in his comments. The code was always let's let the team handle this internally. Let's talk a little bit about what happened in your day. Anything in your obviously not everybody was walking around with a camera in their pocket in those days, so a lot of it wasn't recorded. But I'm sure there must have been some incidents during your time, Lou. And how were they handled? And is this how do you handle them now?
Well, you know, Wally, I've got mixed emotions about this, and it goes back to being a professional athlete, being the role or having the role that I had. There's a lot of guys that chirped because nothing was going to happen, and it happens in this era, and sooner or later somebody's going to call you on it. And what happened with Damon, knowing the temperament that he has, Poole probably said one thing too many. And he had enough, and he took it into his hands the best way he could. But again, this thing should have been taken care of behind closed doors. I know coming to practice certain mornings, and Scott Stevens was a prime example. He was a young kid. Sometimes he didn't wake up on the wrong side of the bed. And you come to practice and you say anything wrong to him, if you come across the ice with your head down, he don't care who it is. You're going down. And what happened here with Poole and Green is just a situation where I think with Poole probably chirping and saying something to him, and he might have said something a little bit too sensitive for Draymond Green to take, and he approached him on it, and he more or less, he let reactions take care of themselves, and he one-punched him. I'm not saying it's right. I think somebody should have stepped in when this stuff was going on and more or less taken it behind closed doors instead of leaving it out there in the open for everybody to take a video of.
Mike, I want to get your reaction to this. I mean, yeah, professional sports has always had a code that, you know, certain things happen in the locker room. This one happened on the practice court, so a little bit more viewers to it. And fortunately or unfortunately, depending on your perspective, somebody took a video of it and leaked it. And now the evidence is there. This thing happened. Where do you draw the line? You know, like I go back to the same point. Lucky. It appears that Draymond Green didn't really land it. I mean, the way, you know, he could have seriously hurt Jordan Poole. We all remember what happened to Rudy T from Kermit Washington back in the 70s. You know, you could very well kill somebody if you land that thing in the wrong place. Fortunately, Jordan Poole appears to have accepted. I'm not sure 100% of the reports, but appears to have accepted the apology. Draymond Green is taking some time off, and doesn't appear that there's been any suspension issued yet. I would think that the NBA would look at this, but we remember in the mid 70s, Ontario government, who was it that got charged criminally? Was it Dan Maloney? I can't even remember. At what point in time, if Jordan Poole gets seriously injured here, do the authorities have an obligation to step in?
Are you asking me that?
Yes, I am. Tough question.
Oh, well,
and then I'm going to ask Butch. No, listen up. I want to ask you the same question.
I don't want to sound like the oddball guy, but I don't think it's that big a deal. I mean, there's two sides to every story, and you've got a rookie chirping a veteran, the veteran who is a very high profile, big personality, well known. If these were two rookies, the coach would be almost applauding them for showing aggression and showing passion to make the team. But just because of what it was, fights. I've got guys like I played at a minor level, and we had fights in practice all the time. And I know the pros. Lou knows that these guys talk about Scott Stevens. And all the guys that go through it, you know, there's fights going on all the time, and the coaches sometimes let them go. It's just that because of the world we live in today, people are just trying to make it. And again, Draymond Green, as I mentioned, is a high personality and, you know, a big guy in this sport. So they're making a big deal about it. But, you know, you don't know what went on in the locker room. This kid's been rapping at him for a couple of weeks, maybe owed him money from something they bet on or did something or whatever. You don't know what all the causes are. And he just had enough and whacked him. And big deal.
Butch, does anything that Jordan did justify that? And should a suspension be or should a hearing at least be held at the NBA level?
Well, I mean, I think Draymond's already been suspended. I think the team told him, you know, to stay away. And, you know, because all of a sudden it's not just convenient that he decided to stay away. I think that, you know, they said, hey, you know, here are your options. And, you know, the lesser option, less public option, is you just stay away from team. I think the authorities have nothing to do with it unless Jordan Poole files an assault charge, which he would, it would be assault and battery. But, that's not going to happen because Poole's on the verge of getting a new contract, hopefully by the 17th of this month, an extension. I think Draymond is really has hurt himself with the officials by doing this. And that will put Golden State at risk again. If Draymond accumulates a certain amount of technicals for his aggressive play, I think that Draymond will be punished by the officials if he's anywhere close to yapping or aggressiveness toward. Draymond always thought he was a target. He's definitely going to be a target now because those officials are going to be told, do not let Draymond get out of line and hurt our brand. And Golden State's trying to win another championship with their core players back. And they need Poole because they lost Peyton to Portland as far as their bench core strength. So it's unfortunate. You know, it's not a legal issue. It is a team issue. If the video doesn't emerge, it doesn't really harm them. But I think without a doubt, the officials are going to say, you know, Draymond's got a shorter string than he's ever had because of this.
Well, we'll leave that discussion. We'll go to break shortly. Before we go to break, certainly we do want to come back. The NHL is starting this week, and hope springs eternal, and we have to talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs. So certainly we're going to do that. They start off this Wednesday against the Montreal Canadiens. But before we go to break, Butch, I'd be remiss if we didn't take the opportunity this morning to get you to bring us up to speed with the Raptors. And how are the Raptors looking in the preseason? And what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about the upcoming Raptors season?
Well, I mean, the Raptors have a core, and they've added another piece. You know, they struggled last year because they made the transition on for new big players, and it didn't work out. The issue at the end of the day, which harmed them at the end of the year, was the amount of minutes that Nick Nurse plays his first six. I think four of his players were in the top 10 in minutes played across the whole league. But again, you know, he needs to coach the way he feels the team can be effective. But the reality at the end of the day is you can't win games if your players aren't available. And clearly, you know, with Fred missing the amount of games that he missed, and definitely toward the end, they lost the head of the horse, and they played great during the preseason. I think they probably would have gotten accomplished whatever that they expect, you know, because people aren't mentioning them. I think they're motivated by people not expecting them, but I think that if they're healthy, they will win. They've had a very good preseason, and they're a year older, and they went through some growing pains last year. I don't know how it's going to work out with OG. He's historically been injured, missed, you know, a considerable amount of games if you look at his last 4 years. But I think everyone else, if everyone else is healthy, they should be better than they were last year.
As we certainly look forward to an exciting Raptors season, we're going to go to break, and let's talk about hopefully what will be an exciting Toronto Maple Leaf season. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when me mum came for a visit. Say hello to everyone, Mum.
I don't want to.
Mum, lean a little closer.
I don't want to be here. Is this where you have your free sex?
Mum, what?
Your half-brother Raul told me. He said, you ask people to call 7 free sex, free sex, free sex. Oh, I'm going to die from this.
Mum, that's Pizzaville's central phone number. But it's not 7 free sex, free sex, free sex. It's 7-3-6-3-6-3-6.
So there is no free sex?
Well, not at Pizzaville.
So what do you get at Pizzaville?
Pizza! Authentic Italian-style stone-baked pizza. So call Pizzaville at 7-3-6-3-6-3-6.
Not 7 free sex! Free sex! Free sex!
Pizzaville! Better tasting pizza without the free sex!
Oh,
Mom!
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery, now open at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity and Vaughn. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
To become a champion in business, it takes coaching, training, and bench strength. And every team needs a skilled player like KPMG Enterprise for private companies. KPMG Enterprise helps entrepreneurs and family businesses grow, strengthen, and transition by offering a full suite of services, including audit, accounting, tax, and advisory. Your business doesn't stand still. It evolves. Team up with a winner. Visit kpmg.ca/enterprise. Let's do this.
Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
The only thing I love more than sports is sports radio. Take it away, boys. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740, 96.7 FM in Toronto. Naz isn't able to be with us today. He's feeling under the weather. Naz, my friend, get better soon. Hopefully you can join us again next Sunday morning. Toronto Maple Leafs are starting this week. I'm going to run around the table here. Mike, you're the ultimate Leafs fan. Lou Franceschetti, you played for the Leafs. And then we'll go back to you, Butch. We'll come up to speed. I don't know how many of you guys read The Athletic. It's one of my favorite sports publications. The writing on there is pretty good. There's a writer for The Athletic, Dom Lucician, who does a points prognostication every year. He has a special formula. He adds up the total value stat for each player on a team, and he adds them up, and he comes up with a formula. He plugs it into his computer. The algorithm spits out how it's all going to end up. This particular computer formula has predicted the top two teams 5 of the last 6 years. So, guys, guess who he's got number one this year? Our beloved Toronto Maple Leafs. He's got them coming in at 110.5 points, 16% chance of winning the Stanley Cup, 50% chance of winning the Atlantic Division, 99% chance of winning the playoffs. Calgary's number two, Colorado's number three, Florida's number four, and Minnesota's number five. Mike, as the ultimate Leafs fan, are you happy that his model has come up with the Leafs as the number one team? Where do you beg to differ, if at all?
Well, my numbers say something different. So I have five numbers that have to come through, and if these numbers don't come through, then it could be a long season, starting right off in the barrel. The two goaltenders, if they don't perform, those 110 points may take them 2 years to get. Number two, the defense, to me, looks a little bit older, a little bit slower, not a lot of depth. Muzzin's been hurt. He got hurt again last night. He's been hurt already. Yeah. So that's a big, big question mark. So the young kids are really going to have to step up. The good news is the bottom six appears to be the best they've seen in a couple of years. If any indications what we've seen so far in preseason are what we're looking at going forward, because there's some good competition from some of the forwards like Gaudette and Balgan, and of course the acquisitions, the couple of the acquisitions they look, I think, will come through. Number four, the other question mark is who plays with JT to keep him going and keep his stick in the lineup and his point per game average keeping going as it is. Maybe he has to move the wing at some point. And the anomaly in all this, you have 37 goals missing from the lineup with Mikhaev and Kasse. That has to be replaced at some point, and hopefully some of those kids will step up and do that. And, of course, my all-favorite, number 88. he's the anomaly in all of this because, you know, they have to find a place for him to play. You know you're not going to get any physical play out of him. He's shied away already in preseason in a number of spots. But you can't take that stick out of the lineup because he can score, and he can score at a point of game pace. So you have to find a spot for him to get him comfortable. He looked okay in preseason, but it is preseason playing between the two kids. But if you can solve those problems right there, those five things, you'll add up to a successful season for Maple Leafs.
We certainly have our fingers crossed. Lou, let me throw this stat at you. The Leafs, obviously the goaltending seems to be the major concern. They've cleaned house goaltending-wise. They've brought in... they have a new backup in Samsonov and a new starter in Matt Murray. Matt Murray is what Howard Cosell used to call a reclamation project, has won a Stanley Cup, certainly has had some difficulties the last couple of years. But this computer, this Dom Lucision at The Athletic, points the following out. Interesting stat on the Leafs goaltending last year. After January 1st, 2021, the Leafs' goaltending save percentage was .887, .891 at even strength. They were 31st in the league after January 1st, 2021 in goaltending stats last year. It almost seems like they've goaltending, and they managed to finish with 100 in the top tier of the league, 113 points, if I'm not mistaken. Correct me if I'm wrong. With that goaltending, they can only be better. Your thoughts, Lou?
Well, I'm not an analytical type of guy. I just go out there and play the game and let everything take care of itself.
So, what are your eyes telling you?
What my eyes are telling me is the goaltending is going to be a good big question mark. I'm not sure if these two guys are the real deal over 80 games. I think Mike said it, the defense are a year older and a year slower. And I'm still questioned. They're still not going to be physical enough in the dirty area in front of their net when they face a bigger team that they're going to have to handle. Their top six are as top six as any team in the league, and they've always had some depth, not a lot, but it seems like this year a lot of the young kids are really battling it out for the bottom six positions. But it comes down to the end of the day, what are you going to do in the playoffs? I can't say it any better. You can play 82 games. What are you going to do in the playoffs?
Well, we've got 82 games to figure that one out, but certainly the groundwork is laid during the regular season. Butch, last season didn't finish quite like we would have liked to. They sort of have this mental cloud hanging over them that they can't get out of the first round. I don't know how many years it's been, and everything goes wrong in game sevens. You look back over the course of the last... the series against Montreal, you know, they lose game 5 and 6 in overtime, and then they blow game 7 on home ice. Last year, you know, game 6, a game they should have won. The Tampa series they should have won. A lot of different thing happens. How do you change that, Butch? How do you get over the hump? How does a team that's always knocking on the door move to the next level? I mean, we're gonna go through the regular season here. By all accounts, unless something drastic happens, and probably, you know, I'm knocking on my desk here at the studio, that hopefully they avoid major injury problems to their key players. But you know, they're probably going to make the playoffs, and they're probably going to be fairly highly seeded. How do you get that pressure off of them in Series 1? How does a coach deal with that? How do you get over that?
Well, I think, you know, we had this call a year ago, and I said that there was a culture issue. And there is a culture issue with the Leafs. Normally, your leaders or your best players in the first round take care. They play so well, it takes care of that opponent. And, you know, Marner has become a ghost. He's a small guy. He signed a 7 or 8 year contract. But to help you guys understand, so the guy's got the least goalies at 31st in the league last year. So what good is it going to do you if you're 18th, 19th to 30, and then you got to go play a team that is 6th or 7th? It just doesn't work out. You know, Lou makes a good point about, you know, they're just not dirty enough in front of their net. And so at the end of the day, you know, I believe they have overinvested in the young guys because Toronto basically has tried to always sell what they have. And that's got nothing to do with what the opponent has. Tampa is not a better hockey market than Toronto, but how in the hell do they have a better hockey team? They've made better decisions. And I think the Athletic guy, you know, someone poured something in his coffee or
his
or
computer. Give him credit. He's been pretty good over the last five out of the 6 years. He's gotten the top two, 5 out of the last 6 years. The only year he didn't get it right was the year St. Louis won the cup. Other than that, he's got it right, 5 out of the last 6.
Well, I mean, you know, good for him.
Yeah.
But how long have you been watching the Leafs play?
How old am I? 66, probably. Okay. 63 years. Yeah.
All right. So how long have you been in this pain?
Well, pain's a little bit dulled on Leafs side after what happened to the Blue Jays in my Bills. But
okay.
But you know what? I'm choosing to forget what's happened in the past, and I'm concentrating on the season ahead. We've got to figure out a bridge to get us to the promised land. And Mike Wilson, the ultimate Leafs fan, you know, we've been feeling a lot of pain a lot of years. What's your assessment of how the Leafs get past round one this year?
Win. It's simple.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
analytics are one thing, but you know, if he makes one save, you know, they go on the, you know, last year, I mean, game 6 in Tampa, I was at that game. Toronto, the look on Tampa's face, the body language was they were beat with 11 minutes left.
Well,
they're
at, I gotta
so
get
hang on.
Yeah,
and
go ahead, Mike.
Then that,
yeah,
phantom high stick,
yeah,
was called, and all of a sudden then the second high stick came. And they still managed to hold in, and then the goal went in and tied it. Yeah. And they still held on to the end. And then they got an overtime, outshot them 9-1 in overtime, and lost them one shot. You know, they're one shot away from advancing. And, you know, one bad call away from advancing last year. Any other team, they'd be harping on that, but because it's Toronto, they want to focus more on the fact that they haven't made the playoffs since 2004 or whatever it is. The whole point of the thing is that, put that all aside, none of these players were there when they won the Stanley Cup. Their dads weren't even born back then. Move forward, just put your stick in the ice and just start playing and forget all the other nonsense around you. They should be attuned enough now to the white noise in Toronto, which is far exceeds any other hockey market or probably any other sports market outside of New York. So just go and do your jobs and make the players accountable and see how we land.
It's funny, we look back at that Tampa series now, and you've gone through it quite well there, Mike. We should have won Game 6. You know, how many times did we have the game? Matthews had the game in his stick in overtime, phantom calls, you know, all of that nonsense. And then in Game 7, same thing. They take a goal away on a play that happens, you know, in every game and through the year, but the refs decide they're going to call Justin Holl for interference at that particular moment in time. It's just like, and everybody said, if they got past Tampa, they probably would have ended up in the Stanley Cup final with Colorado. And I think this team would have matched up well against Colorado. The only difficulty is how to handle Cale Makar. That's a weapon the Leafs don't generally have. So, Lou, your assessment of this year's Leafs team, are we, and I know it says the regular season, I wouldn't say it's meaningless because you got to make the playoffs, you got to put the systems in place, you got to get the chemistry going, so it's not meaningless, but first round series in the Atlantic Division, how things might shape up. You know, if they don't finish first, you're going to get a tough opponent. There's no easy opponents. How do we get over the hump, Lou?
Well, how do we get over the hump? I guess, like everybody says, win. It's just going to be a situation here that they have to stay within themselves. The top six have got to do what the top six can do. We have to get better than average goaltending. And obviously, we got to stay injury free. This team could be one or two injuries away from barely making the playoffs. We don't know because we don't know if something serious is going to happen to Matthews or even Marner, the top two guns on the team. And then the way I look at it, this window is closing very, very quickly on this team. We've only got maybe one or two more years left. We don't know where free agency is going to go 2 years down the road with Matthews. Tavares is getting old. And let's hope that we see the Tavares of Christmas and before, not the Tavares of after, where he looked like he was really slow and dragging at the end of last year. So there's still a lot of question marks, but at the end of the day, they've got a good young team, and they can more or less, if they play up to the capabilities, they can put their flaws in the rearview mirror and move forward.
Butch, is there anything Sheldon Keefe has to do differently?
I think Sheldon's in a really tough spot because, you know, you guys have brought up some good points, but to me, they lost a foundational piece when they lost that series during the COVID to Montreal. It's a series they never should have lost, and they have been in a mental fog ever since. And, again, you know, the greatest hockey market in the world, in Toronto, the NHL salary cap really handcuffs them on what they can do in extra pieces. And so all their pieces cost more than anywhere else. And I think they've always been at a disadvantage. I don't know how they're going to overcome it. But the culture has to change so that, we're sitting here talking about the first round of the playoffs. What championship team in any other sport are they preseason talking about, we got to get through the first round of the playoffs? You know, it's not, they've not killed that and created a real expectation of Stanley Cup if you keep losing the first round. And you can say, you know, a penalty here, a penalty there. Guys, really, really good teams get it done. They get it done on the back end. You know, and they find a way to have a goalie that can stand on his head at least for a series.
let's hope so. On that note, Butch, the clock has struck 10. We've run out of time. I'm just simply going to go around. Butch, to you and your family, a happy Thanksgiving. Mike, to you and your family, a happy Thanksgiving. Lou, to you and your family, a happy Thanksgiving. To all our listeners and to you and your families, a happy Thanksgiving. Butch, thanks so much for joining us.
It's great being on. Happy Thanksgiving to your listening base.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Mike, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and same to you, Wally.
Lou, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys, and have a happy turkey.
Naz, to you and your family, happy Thanksgiving. We'll be right back. We'll be back again next Sunday morning. Have a fantastic week. Thank you.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.